During November last year, I had the honor of being a co-host of the Network to Heal Summit, which was created by Matthias and Doris Badner in Germany. These two beautiful souls are passionate about sharing the knowledge of homeopathy and many other natural health modalities to people around the globe. Matthias and Doris have given me permission to share some of the interviews from the Network to Heal Summit with our loyal listeners on the Homeopathy Hangout podcast. Be sure to visit www.networktoheal.de and sign up to their newsletter so you can be notified of future summits. Also be sure to check out www.matthiasbadner.com for his other summits that he hosts throughout the year. That's www.matthiasbadner.com. And both websites are in English and German. Enjoy the episode.
Yeah, everybody, I welcome you very warmly to the next interview of our International Homeopathy Summit. And today I have Jeremy Scher here in the interview. And Jeremy is from Israel, and he is now in Tanzania, and he was working with people in Israel, treating them. And yeah, and I just asked him how he is doing, and he said, oh, I'm not that good. So Jeremy, I'm very happy that we can talk today and that we can talk about trauma and about, yeah, about how you are doing and also how your view is on trauma. And I mean, you live in the environment of Israel where traumatization or trauma is all over the place, and the results of that as well. And I'm very, I feel it's, I really wanted to ask you about that because you were in that and you were helping people, and maybe this makes it also more real how it is and how things are going. And yeah, welcome. Very welcome.
Thank you, Matthias. Yes, I'm going to start by saying that I do not wish this talk to be political at all. Who is right, who is wrong, which side started, which side finished, what happened. This is not our business as healers. Mm. Our business is to help people and to help the planet. Mm. So it doesn't matter to me where you are on the political spectrum, and it doesn't matter to you where I am. Mm-hmm. But it matters to us that we want to help people on whichever side, mm-hmm. All over. Nevertheless, I am from Israel, and I had a seminar there last month. I was supposed to have a seminar, and I landed in Israel on the airplane from Africa 10 minutes before the terrible things happened on 7th of October. So I landed straight into the war. Of course, my seminar was canceled, but I've spent this time treating post-traumatic people, and where I can, helping and advising the team of homeopaths in Israel. I'll say that there's a wonderful team of people from the Society of Homeopaths Israel that have been working voluntary, of course, full-time, morning and night, 24 hours a day, treating traumatized people, because there are so many and the trauma is so deep, like we've never seen before. We're talking about tens of thousands of people that are traumatized, severely traumatized, and spread all over the country. You know, they have no home left. They're staying in hotels or in basketball halls or wherever they can be. And they've, many of them have had families killed or kidnapped, and, you know, terrible, terrible stories that some of them I cannot even repeat here, because it's so traumatizing. And although I wasn't involved directly. I realize now, coming back to Africa since 2 days ago, that even I feel post-traumatic at the moment, and so do many of the colleagues, not only homeopaths, but psychologists and other people who are treating the traumatized people. Everybody, the whole country is in a post-traumatic stress disorder. So within that, I will say that homeopathy is a tremendous help. And we have achieved very many miraculous results that are very, very quick and instantaneous. You know, in the beginning, for, let's say, acute fright, fear, shock, grief, anxiety are the main things. You know, and we use remedies, and I can go over with you some of the remedies later on in this interview to make it more practical. And people feel better immediately, you know, and they can, for instance, sleep if they haven't slept for a week or something like that. But trauma is so deep that it has to be understood that, you know, you give one or two or three remedies and it takes away the pain and the immediate grief. But, you know, a lot remains there. This is the post of the post-traumatic stress disorder, you know. We're starting from the immediate stress, but then these things can go on for many years. Now, living in Israel, that is a country that sadly has been at war all through its existence, I've come a lot of post-traumatic stress people, and many of them in the past didn't know that they had a post-traumatic stress disorder. You know, soldiers from battles, and they just thought that they were, you know, depressed or something like that, or non-functional for some reason. People didn't even realize in the past, but today it's much more known and understood. But there's never, you know, since World War II, there's never been such a traumatic experience. And it's therefore the intensity of it is new for most homeopaths. I wish they had a team of homeopaths in the other side too. You know, there was a time when we used to go to the West Bank and treat Palestinian people, but that is not possible in such a war. But we have to help whoever we can, and, you know, we're doing it in our country. So it's very intense, and, you know, even, you know, now we are starting to see how much stress it's taking on those of, you know, not sleeping and functioning properly, the psychologists, counselors, etc., because the story that they've done. Okay. I apologize to everybody if my internet is not so wonderful. There might be some breaks, but because I've just landed in Africa and I have to still fix it up, but it should be generally okay. So that is the situation, Matthias, and it's not something that is new to me in treating post-traumatic stress disorder, but it's new to anyone in this kind of intensity of the things that happened. And, you know, I don't want to traumatize your listeners by telling them the stories, just to say that it's more difficult than you can imagine.
So it means really that the country is in shock and in war, and everything is focused on this fear.
Everything is focused on that. There's then, you know, that's the only thing that exists. Both the shock of the war, you know, because everybody thought that things were relatively good. You know, even the top politicians, even the prime minister, they were fooled because, with Gaza, it's not a wonderful situation there, but we were giving them fuel, medical care, a lot of people from Gaza coming into Israel to work every day, getting good salaries, relatively, Western salaries. And, it seemed as if we were on a good road to a peaceful coexistence. That's what people felt. A few rockets here and there, but Israelis are used to that. So nobody expected this, and therefore it was a huge shock. And because it wasn't expected, the army didn't respond well as it should have. So there was a slaughter, a terrible slaughter. And, there was this well-known party, which was a peace, love, and music consciousness-raising party, with lots of young people going there, probably taking ecstasy and stuff like that, and music, and up all night, and they were all slaughtered. So we have many cases of young people who saw terrible, terrible things that nobody should see while they were on drugs, on ecstasy or acid or whatever it is. Because that's what these parties were about, and a terrible shock, this is also a whole new experience that has never been in the world before, what happens when these people are on drugs and, suddenly they're being shot down and raped and slaughtered and mutilated. You can imagine that this is something that is for life. It's not going to go away with one or two remedies, but the remedies help a lot in these situations. They are helping a lot, and it's really good to have homeopathy, and the people appreciate it.
So there was this invasion, the people were suddenly in shock of this horrible attack. This is horrible. I mean, this is the acute situation, and then of course there comes the long-term situation, the trauma which is already in the air. I mean, also, I'm here from Germany. It is so, we have this whole situation of being in Israel or being Jewish, and having also always this separation of being in a way of creating this separation. There's another, and now the Palestinians or also the people there are on that track, and this is, I think, a trauma which is already in your genes. I would say.
Well, it is in the genes. Yes, it's there. It's Jewish existence for thousands of years, and it just comes up again and again. But what you said is right, Matthias, that there is the acute stage, which is the first days and maybe weeks after a shock. And that has a certain class of remedies. And I'll go over that later. From a practical point of view. But then we go into the chronic phase. And then we go into the deeper chronic phase. So the chronic phase is, what happens when, the whole immediate shock and war and all that is over, and then people are left with the grief, with the terror, in a long term, and it goes into a different view of treatment or deeper treatment. All this is in the organ, and I can show it, Hahnemann talks about early.
Yeah, because I feel
acute into the...
Now the internet is a bit breaking. Are you back?
Yeah, I'm here. Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah.
So, I'd say, look, there are three phases. One is this acute thing. And we deal with it with acute remedies. Then is the chronic thing, what is left over. For instance, I treat people that have been traumatized 20, 30 years ago in the army. And they still have, you know, stuff, if it's bad dreams or anxiety or palpitations or whatever. But the problem with living in a place like Israel, that every time there's another war and every 2 years there's another war, then it triggers it all up again. It brings it up again. So it's like, even though you're treating it, there's something that will push it again and again and again, push the buttons. And then, you know, we go deeper into the what is happening in the world. You know, why is there always such war? Why can't we live in peace? You know, why is this such a recurring feature? Why is there so much hatred? And from a homeopathic point of view, this is going deep into the earth of the Sora and our very existence of human beings. And it comes down to very simple concepts of me and you. You know, the moment we are separated so that I forget that I am you and you are me, then I say, this is mine, this is yours, this is my land, that's your land. Don't take from me, I will take from you. I hate you, you hate me. All those questions, all those things that we really need to be treating in the end, but you cannot treat it during the acute phase. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, you cannot forget it, you know, because if we don't do that, then the history we had will be the history we'll always get, you know, and it will repeat and repeat and repeat.
Yeah.
But this is such deep, long-term work in homeopathic concepts, and it needs more expertise. Treating the acute phase is relatively easy, and anybody can do it with first aid homeopathic remedies, if it's aconite or gelsemium or whatever. But going deep into the chronic sora is the art of the really professional homeopath, and also seeing the big global picture and treating the planet through each person, because every person is a microcosmos of the whole world. And with one person that we treat properly, in depth, they can help change the world and make it a better place. But this is a big long-term thing, you know, that we have to do. Of course, you know, consciousness can change in a second. We can change it in a meditation or with a word or with a hug or with anything like that. And suddenly all these boundaries of me and you vanish, but it easily comes back. And that is why Sora is such a deceptive thing and a deceptive concept. But I am working now. What I'm doing is I'm looking at the long-term remedies and also teaching them, you know, what are the remedies for the day after the acute, the day after the you know, the first trauma and the second level of trauma, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I feel it's so important, because I also have the feelings that we as Germans have never really worked deeply on that. You know, we also have this concept of still of good and bad, and still the concept of we have to fight back here and there. There was never, I mean, we saw it also when there was the pandemic situation. We had the same. There were the bad ones which were put out. There was me and you. There was never this feeling of, hey, we have to become on a human ground level and act from there.
It's very strange, because, you know, after the 3 years of trauma of corona and vaccination, you know, where you feel the same thing. We're a minority, we're always being attacked, and we separated and everything else, and persecuted, and then straight into this war again, and your Ukraine war, and everything else. And still in the background are the memories of the Second World War and the Holocaust, and the fear and the guilt and the shame, and on both sides, and everything else. And it's, you know, We have a lot of work to do, and I have to, you know, and it looks so big sometimes of what we have to do that it looks impossible.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that we have to believe, you know, that we have to believe it's possible. Because mm-hmm. if we lose our belief that it's possible, we've lost everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So even if we don't know, can we change this world? You know, we don't know because we haven't done it yet. But I choose to believe that it is possible. But then, you know, look, all these young people at the party were there. These are kids that are working for peace all the time. You know, it's of the left wing, young people, freedom, you know, all that. And suddenly the world is shattered.
Yeah.
Not only physically, but also they come with a concept of we, you know, we can open our heart, we can share, we can be at, you know, we don't want enemies, we want peace and all that. And then it not only shatters you physically and your immediate memory, but it shatters your concept of the world,
mm-hmm.
what you believed in and what you, you know, this whole left-right stupid divide.
Yeah, this is another thing also in politics, that we divide in left and right and don't see things as they are on different levels of consciousness, and that we are in a way, we have that in the parties now. They are also at mm-hmm. war. I mean, it's not violent, but still it's always a minority and majority, and we push over you. There's not this it's somehow is so fake.
Well, it is, you know, look, this whole left-right thing was very, very strong in Israel in the last year or two before the war, because the government wanted it. They wanted to make a separation of left and right, and it weakened the country very much. Now, after the trauma, this is what often happens after the trauma. Everybody's together. Everybody's as one.
Yeah.
Because in an acute disease, during an acute disease, people come together.
Mm-hmm.
Even on an individual level, if somebody has a fever or some acute ailment, their fight against that attack is very focused during an acute. So, you know, now the country is functioning as one. It's the same as happened in after 9/11. After 9/11, the first weeks, all Americans were as one. The whole world was as one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody, you know, came together in the grief and the fear in a solidarity. You know, not only America, but all the Western countries and many non-Western countries came together as one.
Mm-hmm.
This acute thing of people coming together as if one person is what we should be in the chronic, not in the acute.
Yeah.
You see?
It's and not turn it against something else.
It's showing us what is possible,
mm-hmm.
what we have inside us to be as one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's our work is to bring that oneness into the chronic, into the everyday life. And as you say, not us and them, but all together.
Mm-hmm.
But look, there's, you know, in Israel, there's a very, very strong peace movement. There mm-hmm. always has been. It's, you know, mm-hmm. it's, you know, many, many people belong to what is called that side of the spectrum. But now that's gone. You know, for the moment, during the acute phase, people feel they have to, you know, they have to fight and defend themselves. Later, when we come back to the chronic, I hope it can change on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
There are many people in Israel who really want peace.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope it can change on both sides. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
maybe I just wanted to ask. Maybe it's too early to ask that, but maybe this acute situation shows how stupid it actually is what we are doing as humanity, that we are going in this division and in this good and bad, and that maybe this makes it now very clear. Of course, I would defend my family, but in a bigger view, it is better to find ways that that we are more like acting like one humanity.
A lot of people are. What you say is right. Acute situation shows us the truth where we should be. A lot of people in the world are either left or right. And that's stupid, to my mind. To say I am very right-wing is to see half a picture and to stick to that. And to say I am very left-wing is to see another side of the picture and to stick to that. Because just the very identification with right or left is part of the problem. It is the problem. Even if you're left and you say, yes, I want peace and I want to change the world and I want liberal values and all that, you are still half of the picture, not the whole picture. And the question is how to bring these two sides, the yin and the yang of it, together.
Yeah.
You know, so that we don't need that extremism.
Yeah, we have this this saying of a selective viewing, and this comes when you are right or wing, you interpret everything according to your ideology, and this is on one or another side, it's like that, and this gives this view which is really narrow.
Yeah, well, and the problem is with today's internet, whatever you think, you will be fed more on the internet of what you believe in.
Yeah.
So if you are pro-vaccination or anti-vaccination, you will be getting on your WhatsApp and Instagram and TikTok more of the same.
Yeah.
So that just makes the separation more extreme. So what can we do, Matthias? You know, we are healers and we just do what we can, one person at a time. At the same time, you know, I lectured here last year or the year before about epidemics.
Yeah.
And there is a way, there are homeopathic mechanisms to look at the whole picture as one in the same way. And, you know, to see and to treat the people in a way that brings a more global perspective in. That is built into the philosophy of homeopathy. And it can be utilized in these times as well. So, you know, we have to go there too. Like I say, you know, in terms of homeopathy, we have the first level of post-trauma, which anybody can do, I believe, because if you learn 10 remedies, you can go out and help a lot of people. And then you need deeper knowledge and understanding in order to go and treat the bigger picture.
Yeah, this is now, I'm very curious now what you have.
Well, let me
in your pocket.
Let me share some stuff with you.
Yeah, one second. I give you permission.
This is part of you know, you asked me some questions here. You said, how are people doing on both sides? They're doing terrible. They're doing terrible in Israel and they're doing terrible in Gaza. You know. It's so very difficult also for the people in Gaza, because the civilians, they are not allowed to leave. You know, they're being held there by force, and lots of the terrorist stuff is happening under mosques, in schools, in playgrounds. You know, so the standards in the world. So I'm sorry for the civilian people there that, you know, are in a terrible, terrible situation too. It's awful on both sides, and it's becoming awful globally too. And all I can say to you also, behind this war, you know, you people think of it just as ideological, you know, the Hamas have their ideology, which is written in their manifesto, to destroy Israel. That's black on white. It's not my invention. But they are being played also as through their ideology, they are being played by much bigger forces, by superpowers and
mm-hmm.
by super companies
mm-hmm.
That are playing the game for oil
mm-hmm.
and gas and energy and big trillions of dollars of money. So they use the Hamas as a puppet. They use Israel as a puppet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they pull the strings behind. You know, so they take this ideology and they take advantage of it because it's easy for them to press the buttons that they want to press so that they get the result they want to get. Those factors that are in power of superpowers and of super big companies
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. So, you know, that's really what's pulling the strings behind the ideology and the territorialism and all that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if we
and
are
little,
in an ideology, they can manipulate you so easily. That is the yeah. And
yeah.
if you're in fear, you can be manipulated so easily. And if you are wounded,
yeah.
you can be manipulated so easily. This is
yeah.
the trap we are all going in again and again, in my view.
Yeah. Like the vaccination, like everything else.
Yeah.
But I'll say this as an Israeli. There is one thing, and this I'm saying from, you know, my perspective as an Israeli. There's one thing that Israel knows. They can win 100 wars and it will carry on, but they can only lose once.
Mm-hmm.
And if they lose once, it's the end.
Mm-hmm.
And that you can see from what happened now. It means, you know, there'll be nothing more left. It won't be left. So it puts,
mm-hmm.
when somebody is in a corner all the time and they know this is it,
mm-hmm.
you either survive or you vanish, then it's a different perspective. Anyway, I want to get back to the homeopathic side. So
yeah.
I'm going to share some things with you, okay?
Okay, yeah.
So this is part of a PowerPoint I was doing for the homeopaths in Israel about war trauma and treating war trauma. And we have to understand that this, Hahnemann talks about these things in the Organon. Can you see my screen now?
Yes, yes, now I can see. Mm-hmm.
Good, okay. So,
you can put it in the presentation. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Is that okay? Yeah.
Yes, perfect.
There are paragraphs in the Organon that relate to these issues. It's the paragraphs relating to mental diseases. And PTSD is one of the mental diseases. Hahnemann's talking about it in general, so it can be schizophrenia, and it can be mania, and it can be obsessive compulsive. And these are very deep paragraphs. Not many homeopaths are aware of them, and they hold a lot of secrets within them. You know, he talks about normal psychological issues, chronic mental disease, such as dementia or psychosis. But these paragraphs over here are about temporary mental illness, disease, which is what we see in the acute trauma situation. Mm-hmm. Later on, that can go on to the chronic, as we said. Now, what I've been doing these days is I'm working on a translation of the Organon. And the mm-hmm. translation, I don't speak German very well, as you know. But translated from English is called translation, which is a Mayanan sutyag. So what I'm working on today is translation of the Organon from English to English. As you know, I don't speak German well or at all, mm-hmm. but I'm making the adaptive translation, which means translating the Organon into today's world and today's language, making it more simplified and more easy to understand and more related to how what is going on in the world today, for instance, COVID or AIDS or stuff like that. So this is my translation of paragraph 221. And here Hanuman talks about a normally calm patient who is triggered into a kind of temporary mental condition from shock, fright, anger, grief, or substance abuse.
Mm.
And you see, so this is in today's language now. And this is our situation now through shock, fright, anger, and even, as I mentioned before, drugs at the time. And mm-hmm. these are acute explosive outbursts of dormant sora. So as I said to you a moment ago, the underneath is the sora, which is the state of the world today, me, you, left, right, us and them. But this is an acute outburst, an explosive outburst of it. And because it's an acute explosive outburst, we should treat it with high potencies. Note that it's more high potencies are useful here. Mm-hmm. Of suitable acute remedies. For instance, aconite, belladonna, stramonium, hyoscyamus, or mercury.
Mm-hmm.
Most of these acute remedies, 90%, will be plant-based remedies.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are more suitable for acute situations. Sometimes a fast mineral like mercury or arsenicum will be useful. And he says after treatment with these remedies, the patient seems to return to their normal healthy disposition. So this is this is an acute mental condition.
Mm-hmm.
As people have been experiencing in Israel over the last 3-4 weeks. And here, you know, we can take a rubric, for instance, from the exciting causes he mentioned, such as fright, ailments from fright. And here are the main remedies. Now, if you study these remedies, you'll see some of them are more acute and some of them are more chronic. Mm-hmm. So aconite is, of course, the number one remedy that you usually start with, whatever happened, just because it's known to be such a fast remedy, you know, it's the first thing you're going to give. Interestingly, it was the first remedy we gave in Corona. You know, most of the cases, I would start with aconite straight away, first mm-hmm. thing. You know, not after a while, it's number one to start with. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you see, Argentum and Argentum nitricum, deep minerals are not so appropriate. Argentum nitricum can be if people are scared to go outside or get fear of narrow places or something's going to happen. It can be. Arsenicum, we've seen a lot of, you know, especially anxiety, you know, people in a state of acute anxiety and anxiety about their health and anxiety for other people, you know, often family of the kidnapped people who are, you know, living in a state of constant anxiety, what's happening to their daughter or husband or whatever it is. You know, you'll see a coryphea in states of sleeplessness from the shock, that will be common. Gelsemium in more situations of kind of being paralyzed, being catatonic, you know, going into a deep melancholia, that can be the case in gelsemium. As you see, most of these are plant remedies for the first stage, aconite, arsenicum, you know, coryphea, gelsemium. Ignatia, of course, is probably the second most common remedies, you know. For instance, I treated a family whose mother and father were killed and they were locked for 13 hours in a room with the dead mother, the two kids of 8 and 9 years old. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, now they're orphans, but and they had to be there hiding quietly in the cupboard with their dead mother, you know. So of course, you know, remedies like Ignatia, or deep grief coming to it and stuff like that. And then you can follow with that more afterwards. All these, in these situations, you have to use repeatedly, in higher potencies, you know, not give one remedy and wait. You might see Nash warming cases of a lot of irritability. Opium is one of the main ones.
Mm-hmm.
Opium for fright and the fear remains. That is very, very common. People can't sleep, people having bad dreams. So I say the first three remedies are aconite, ignatia, opium. That, mm-hmm. you know, all the, you know, this team of Israeli homeopaths are using most of the time in the beginning. Phosphoric acid, if they go into a kind of indifference, tiredness, inability to function, you know, that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You might see those would be the main first line of defense. If you look at some of the concomitants and modalities of ailments from fright, for instance, with anger, the fright still remaining. This is a major PTSD rubric. Fright and the fright remains. That's what it means, PTSD. Mm-hmm. Or in children, or with grief, fright with grief. So these are smaller rubrics, or sudden fright. You see aconite, but yeah, you see gallium, which is an interesting remedy here. And I'll talk to you about that in a moment. And opium, of course, these are the main ones. Aconite and opium and ignatia, you see, would be the first line of defense. And then gallium and plutonium. If we talked about, you know, the state of the world today, the deep division that we see in society, a lot of this goes down to radioactive remedies, deep remedies like plutonium that are, you know, they are also related to these big companies and big powers that control things, you
mm-hmm.
know, that pull the strings, because this is the radioactive power that can control everybody, pulling the strings from under the earth, from behind. You don't know that they're there and they are there. And
mm-hmm.
of course, the threat of atomic war all the time. So that mm-hmm. could be one of the more chronic remedies. And here is another one, which is olea.
Mm-hmm.
And olea is olive. And this is very, very important, especially for long-term peace in the Middle East. This remedy, it's a proving I've done. It's all about, you know, the roots of war and conflict, especially between the three big religions, Western religions, Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. The olive lies at the root of it. And this is a tree that symbolizes both peace, but also territory. You know, people in the Middle East, when they have land, the first thing they do, they plant olives to,
mm-hmm.
to make a statement, but it's also peace. So this, you can see how this little rubric, combination of rubrics, gives us three acutes, aconite, ignatia, opium, and three chronics, gallium, plutonium, and olive, and that more, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to know how to differentiate them and what is what. Now, if you look at ailments from grief, and I'm stressing here that it needs to be ailments from, not the rubric grief, which is a general state of being, but ailments from, then you also see, you know, similar remedies such as Yersinia, Ignatia, etc. But let's look what happens when we combine the main post-traumatic rubrics. So we have ailments from fear, ailments from grief and anxiety. This could well define, you know, the post-traumatic stress disorder, the grief, anxiety, and fear.
Mm-hmm.
And here we see, as we said, arsenicum causticum would be more long-term, where people are just washed out from constant anxiety about themselves, about others, you know, and they go into weakness and stuff like that. Calibromatum, when there's a state of, you know, paranoia, somebody's going to attack me all the time. This is another possible. Colocynth with suppressed anger. And nitric acid is very interesting because, you know, you asked, why is there no peace? Why can't people forgive each other? Why mm-hmm. is there always this hatred? And nitric acid goes deep into that because nitric acid is a remedy about the inability of two sides to come together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing that maybe shows it more than anything is this thing in nitric acid. hatred of people and revengeful and unmoved by apologies. That means that, you know, people are fighting because of things that happened 100, 200, 2,000 years ago. And it's not resolving, it's not coming together. The boundaries are not coming together. And there's still the hatred and there's still the inability to forgive and to move on. So it's a very deep remedy for the state of the planet, together with what I mentioned, plutonium and that. Now, let me, you know, and here you see, if you're into astrology, this war started exactly in a situation where Pluto and Uranus in the eighth house of death and transformation, you know, these are the heavy radioactive forces, plutonium and uranium, Pluto and Uranus, the planets, Mars on the ascendant with Jupiter on the 7th of October, war, violence, and Jupiter makes everything bigger and more. So this brings also these remedies like plutonium into it. And the relative acutes of plutonium are Haliaethus and Androctonus. I'll explain that to you. You see, this is there's a mythological sequence between plutonium, scorpion, and eagle. In astrology, in ancient Egypt, there wasn't Scorpio, there was eagle. These three of them go together. They have related frequency. So we see cases of scorpion, you know, in acute post-traumatic disorder, when there's really a desire to a feeling that you're going to be killed and you have to fight back. You know, kill or be killed. So that's very much a scorpion thing. You know, a lot of fear that I'm going to die, and the response is attack. In the eagle, it's a good post-traumatic remedy because this remedy was made from an eagle that was shot down. You know, so it was an eagle flying high, free, you know, feeling king of the sky, of the world, and then suddenly it's stuck for life in a cage and it will never fly again. And therefore, you see, from the proving, we have depression, loss of self-worth. This is long-term PTSD, you know, what happens. I'm uncared for, lethargic, can't do anything, no patience, no motivation, anger, dissatisfaction. I can't win. I'm tired of fighting a losing battle. Rage inside. And remembering, like the American Native Americans after they lost the war, you know, to the colonialists, the you know, who came to America, and there they were stuck in little camps, you know, with taken away all their power. That's the kind of thing that happens with eagle. You know, that's a wounded eagle. So it's not the same for any eagle. This remedy is made from wounded eagle, and it shows in the proving.
From what you make it, feathers of from the how is it
with
made?
The blood.
The blood. Okay.
With the blood of a wounded eagle. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know this eagle personally. I've seen it. Yeah. I've treated it with homeopathy. Successfully, not to fly again, of course, because the wing is gone, but it was bleeding all the time. And they gave it arnica and this and that, and nothing helped it. And I took the case and I gave Hamamelis, and the bleeding stopped. Hamamelis is not only a remedy for passive bleeding, but it's a remedy of somebody who feels very strong. And feels that they are not getting the respect that they should get. So it fitted very well. So this is another proving of mine. You know, self-destructive, this is an issue that can come up in post-traumatic. I'm killing myself slowly, just eating greasy, fatty junk food and not exercising. That's how I will slowly kill myself. This is a kind of depression that can go into long term. Now here Hanuman says in the next paragraph, and I'll make it very simple. He says, after an acute attack of mental disease, it's very important straight away to go to the chronic.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot leave it and say, okay, I gave aconite, I gave opium, and that's it, and they're feeling better and they're sleeping now. Let's go home. Immediately, you have to begin to treat the chronic. That will be the chronic of the person will start to show up. So you see, from this point of view, a trauma in homeopathy is called a stronger dissimilar disease, just like an epidemic or like a vaccination. It's the same thing. So during the first phase, you treat this, which is everything that you see, the vaccination damage, the corona, the post-traumatic. But after a while, that diminishes and it goes back to partly the chronic of the patient, this blue, and some of the symptoms of the acute attack left. And you have to combine these two to move on to find the next remedy. You don't give the chronic that was before. You don't give the acute that was during the acute phase. You have to know how to move on to the next phase. This is already where, you know, professional higher level homeopaths have to come in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to mention two remedies that fit the situation. The two of them are gallium and germanium. Germanium, element 32, that's your baby, being German. You know, it is, I lectured about it in Berlin in 1995 in a big conference that was there. And this remedy is a very good long-term post-traumatic remedy, because what happens here, this is a remedy with the most suppressed anger of any remedy.
Mm-hmm.
There's no remedy that is close to it on suppressed anger, but also a feeling of guilt and of beating oneself up. You know, this is, and in that way, it's very appropriate to the Holocaust on both sides, mm-hmm. because both sides have the guilt, both sides have the self-reproach, you know, the suppressed anger, with a lot of physical weakness and other things and that come along with it, and mental problems. So germanium is a very good remedy for long, long-term stuff. And next door to it, I also, that's one of my provings. I don't know why, you know, I'm teaching these provings because I know them best, but somehow they fit the situation. Element number 31, gallium, which I proved in 2000, but it took me 15 years to put it together, is a major post-traumatic remedy. I would put it there with number one. And that's why before, you know, we finish, if I have time, I'll show it to you. How are we doing for time, Matthias?
So I just was noting down, you asked how about the time?
Yeah.
How much you need?
5 more minutes.
Yeah, we can have also 50 more minutes, because it's so, I think it's going so to the core. I just had this view when you talked about germanium, or that it's that we are really, both of the sides are puppets, you know, we are both like in this rage of each other and caught in that. And it is, and then we do all this traumatic stuff to each other, and it is so amazing. And then we go into this guilt and anger, and it's time to get out of that from both sides. Yeah.
And the only force that can get us out of that is the force of similars.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing
exactly
that can cure us. Because to go against is to perpetuate this war.
Mm.
I am right, you are wrong, you are wrong, I am right.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
We have to see the other. And the way of us homeopaths to see the other is by the use of similars.
Mm-hmm.
So this other remedy, gallium 31, is maybe the strongest long-term PTSD remedy that I know of these situations of war. So I will show you something from the proving. This is a short synopsis of some of the proving.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is many people together. So it's not one person talking. I've combined many provers as if it was one person, which is what
okay.
we do in
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I almost got myself killed today. School shootings and bombings, bombs, destruction, loss of life. Lives were lost and much destruction. Dreams, a plane crashed in front of us. Dreams of panic on a plane, people from the back trampling those in front. Dreams, the landing gear of our plane didn't extend and the plane burst into flames and crashed into a terminal building. Dream about a friend who died in the plane crash. Dream of planes dropping bright, shiny silver bombs on cars. Dreams of a tangle of smashed up neighbors' cars. Dreams a child set fire to the house. Dreams of a fire in the chimney. Dreams of danger from fire on the floor below. Danger from a nasty guy. Dream a rapist has raped and killed a nurse whose blood is in the pool. Dream my sister was about to be executed. Dream of commandos attacking a village. Shivering, feeling like I'm going to die. I'm sad to see my body an empty shell. I'm losing a lot of blood. I feel buried alive. I won't be dead. If I sleep too long, I won't be dead when I wake up. I do not exist. I have no past, present, no future. I am no more. I don't want to live. My body is weak. I want to let my body disintegrate. I want to remain obliterated. I can no longer live on earth. I'm dead. The whole world knows they are dead. We are both turned cold, hard, stone dead. I do not exist a black hole. I am the black hole that is where I want to stay, a place of comfort. I disintegrate so that my body can join my soul. I can't connect with my body. I'm isolated. My mind is blank, my head empty, disorientated. I'm in my own bubble. I feel paralyzed, numb, shocked. In illusion, I have no heart. In a limbo, I feel like a collection of parts rather than an integrated whole. I am broken, shattered, fragmented, shattered into a million pieces. As if insects are eating my liver, spleen, and pancreas. I have to wear black because I'm dead. Dreams of having sex with a dead man. Dreams of choosing life or death. I'm dead, not dead, dead, not dead. I see shadows being laughed at. A sense that there's somebody behind me. Time and space mean nothing to me. I am in a place with endless time, no time. Time has ceased. God is present by being absent. So you can see, this was a very, very difficult proving. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not fun. But you can see how appropriate it is to the situation today. Especially people have gone through such a shock of violence. It could be 9/11, it could be the war yeah. now, it could be any kind of traumatic experience, being bombed or whatever, and the whole world is shattered and they are stuck between the place of life and death. They can't move on into death and they can't move back into life. This is part of the chemistry of gallium, because gallium is a substance that is always between freezing and melting, freezing and melting. It's on that temperature scale. So this is what's happening with a person who's frozen in a post-traumatic state.
Mm-hmm.
And here are just a couple of cases. These are not my cases. These are from two homeopaths who are working in the Society of Homeopaths. This is a woman in a kibbutz near Gaza. Her mother was murdered in front of her. She thinks about it all the time. She feels she herself is dead, as if she lost her heart. It was so sudden she cannot move on. She had no time to mourn because she has to look after the kids. And she did very well on gallium. It helped her a lot. This is another patient who was in the party when they were attacked by terrorists. They saw two terrible things. I cannot repeat those things here. It's too bad. And she keeps seeing these images and cannot sleep at all. Since then, she cannot feel anything. She has a big hole where the heart was. She has no heart left. She wants to try, but she can't. She got gallium 200, and it helped her a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So again, Hahnemann says, yeah, you can treat the acute post-traumatic stress disorder, but if you don't treat the chronic, If you don't go deep afterwards, it will happen again and again.
Mm-hmm.
And even after the personal chronic, we have to go to the collective chronic.
Mm-hmm.
This is really the message. Where we have to go. Chocolate, strangely, chocolate is another remedy I've used in people who are traumatized, you know, because it has a lot of fear in it, chocolate. A very fearful remedy. Fear of being attacked, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's another remedy. This remedy you can look up on the internet. It's not a remedy. I know it's a trauma remedy, not that well known, but supposedly good. And
Alice will talk about it.
Alice,
you know her. Alice, she has a lecture on it.
You can read about that and listen to Alice.
Mm-hmm.
So that is it, Matthias. What I have to say in general about this terrible situation. And I can only wish that we didn't have it on both sides, and wish anybody that's suffering, peace and health.
Yeah, let's hope that it's good for bringing back peace to the world and seeing that we don't want that, what we are creating again and again and again, and that we start working on it and getting out of these dualities of you and me and good and bad, mm-hmm. and become human and heal each other's traumas of the persecutor as well as of the victim, so that we are not going in this and being slaves of the of both of the people who want to take advantage of this pain, either in each party. You know, it's like a party, and we go in this and that, it's so easy. Of course it's easy because we're used to it, but what you are just saying was touching me so much, Jeremy, and it's so important. I feel that you are setting the first stepping stone to another world and not just haitatai. It is more like being honest, working with the pain, and then maybe coming to the light and to the love, and also spreading that it with much honesty and also facing things as they are. So, Jeremy, thank you so much.
Thank you. And I hope we meet in better days.
Let's meet in better days, or let's meet to create better days. Maybe let's meet again to go further with what you just are exploring, because it feels so out of, how you call it in German, Betroffenheit, being involved in something and now getting out of that. It's much, it is so sincere. And thank you for that very much.
Okay, thank you, Matthias, and love and peace to all.
Love and peace, and recover well in Tanzania, and love to your whole family, and also to your family in Israel, and also to all the people who share the same blood as we all do, the same blood groups, and
Okay.
Bye.
Sehr gut. Tschüss.